Greetings, dear ones. I'm Cryon of Magnetic Service. The human being steps aside. And the higher self, which represents that piece of God in every single one of you, is the portal which allows for spirit to enter. So it would be an attribute of compassionate allowance, which lets the human being then channel. And over a period of time, those things which would become difficult at first are more normalized, that are less linear at first become more linear. And so what you are seeing at this moment is because my partner has practiced and he's given an allowance for spirit to come through in a way that is pure, loving, and represents the compassion from the other side of the veil. All of the masters who walked the earth featured a compassionate countenance. It ought to tell you about the attitude of God. And so in these moments, at this time, the practice that my partner has gone through creates a situation where he cannot tell what is coming. And that what is coming is a celebration. And so the channeling is about the changes within the shift at hand. It is informative, congratulatory, compassionate, and it is family speaking to family. And we wish to give you the profundity of the shift which is upon you. Even more than that, you take a look at the cycle of what is before you right here in this building. For if you could go back and look at the decisions of where to put it, how to build it, what it should be like, you'll find it was channeled. And so the very moment that you sit here now was seen as a potential when the ground was broken. For the ones who were healed, for the graduates, for the ones who would study the things that are out of three dimensions, all of it was seen as the ground was being broken. And that is what we speak of as seeing the future. For spirit can only see what the potentials are which are there given by human consciousness. And the potentials arrive based upon the attributes of consciousness as you put forward ideas, integrity, purpose. And the old souls of this planet are the forerunners for all of that. And the founders who sit here, they probably know of the attributes of who they were, of what they did before they got here, of what brought them together, and the day they broke ground. And so they have a sense of full circle. For at the point at which the ground was broken, there was no assurance that humanity would go into the attribute that it is going into now. Taken on synchronicity and faith, the building was built. that the school was transferred into the spot and began its work. That more than just knowledge, light was being produced here. And by design, those who would be attracted to the light would come. And they would receive the things that they should receive and move into the world, spreading that which had integrity and knowledge, purpose, without bias, to their workplaces and their families. And so we yet say again that it is a human being, one at a time, that makes the difference on this planet and not a group effort. And if it were a group effort, we would put you in groups, treat you in groups, and ask you to arrange yourself in groups, and we do not. We ask you to take that which you find that works for you, which is of the love of God, and you take it home. And that revolves around you so succinctly, individually, beautifully, that other humans would see God in you. The very description of the namaste, the God in me greets the God in you, is the whole point of everything that is here. But it was a gamble. And now you sit at the cusp in the year of 2012, where there is a recalibration of just about everything going on. And so I'm going to give you still another one in a series we have called The Incredible Human Being. Let's talk about this, the new responsibilities. This has not occurred to you. The things you are looking at right now, old soul, are not occurring to you. And so I'm going to bring some things forward that you haven't thought about, but that we see so clearly. It is why I exist on the planet as an advisor, as a family member, as one who would give you information of hope, of solace. And we say yet again, that those who would channel spirit, the God source from the other side of the veil, are going to bring you first compassion. And all of the things that go with it are going to be soft and beautiful. Never asking you to do something out of integrity, never telling you about dangerous things, perhaps, that might occur, for that is not what we do. A mother would not do that. A father would not do that. When their children look in their eyes and say, what's going to happen next? To come from a position of wisdom and tell their children what they know, that they will be all right. And so we say to you, dear old soul, listen to this. For there is a change afoot. And when I am finished, you will say, well, that may sound wonderful for the upcoming generations, but I'm old and won't see it. And we would like to remind you, the reason we're telling you is because when you implement it, you will not be old. For you're coming back. We see you as a chain of lives with one soul. We see one higher self with one name and one face and one energy. It is the one we love. We do not see you changing like you see you do. We see no sting in death as you do. We see you returning to continue what you started. And so this is the way of it. And we give you news which we've always wanted to give you. When my partner opened his mouth for the first time publicly over 20 years ago, It was a halting sound filled with fear and trembling. And they didn't know what was going to come out. Not much did. For he got in the way of it constantly. Until he did it so often, he realized it was a safe place to be. That while he sits in the chair, his biology is even changed. But he didn't know about today. That today we would be able to tell you what's next because we see what you've done. There was only a potential 20 years ago and now a reality. You're passing the marker. And for me to explain this to you more succinctly, I would have to give you history. History that you don't know about. Oh, dear ones, you see human history as a long, linear chain of events leading to who you are today. And it didn't happen that way. There were cycles of development of humanity, as many as four before you that are significant, each lasting as long as 10,000 earth years. Developing to a place that would be one that was not sustainable from the consciousness of the prevailing humans on the planet. And there would be what you would call a backwards motion, perhaps even a restart, and Gaia would cooperate. And I do not mean to be cryptic, but these are the things that you can even see in the discoveries of your history. You don't find much past 10,000 years when you've had 50. What about before that? Where is it? You will find those who will discover some of it, and it is hard to find. Even 10,000 is difficult. And those who would live in the Indus Valley, doing what they did, not very attainable what they were doing. It's too old. And yet they were what I will call restarters from something that had happened before that that knocked you back. This is not that uncommon. And those who have gone before you in other places have had the same situation. This is called the evolution of human consciousness. But you look at it as one chain. If you go back far enough, even in the 10,000 years that you have, you're going to discover anomalies. The anomalies are civilizations that had running water, not through attributes of devices, but through physics and gravity, through pumping water created by understanding gravity and caverns and vacuum, where an entire city could have running water, heated streets, water developed and delivered through aqueduct systems. And then next to that, you're going to find one that didn't. In fact, it seemed all to go away. And instead of evolving, it seemed to devolve. One city with all of these attributes and one following it with almost nothing. And you will call it the fall and the rise of certain times and consciousnesses. It's more than that, dear ones. Humans tend to keep good things. They don't throw them away and return to a less aware state on purpose. And if you look hard enough, even within 10,000 years, you're going to see attributes that are puzzling. Why cities built upon modern cities would not be modern. And you have to ask yourself, what happened? What was the responsibility of the human being in the past lives that you have lived for the last 10,000 years, old soul. Not before that. Let's just look at the last 10,000. What were you doing here? What have you been doing in this lifetime? What did you do in the immediate last lifetime? What was the responsibility of the light worker and the old soul? Even the most aware, what was the job? And I'll tell you what it was. It was fighting old energy. So the responsibility of everything that you can remember and not remember, old soul, was carrying your light in a dark consciousness. And that is the extent of the responsibility, a big one, that you've had. And so all of this time, all you really had to know about is how to hold your light. And as long as you could do that, you create more light. And some of you have been through what we would call the ringer because of it. There are those in the room who've lost friends and family because of it. There are those in the room who live short lifetimes because of it. There are those in the room who raised their hand at the wrong time and were burned at the stake because of it. There are shamanic energies in the room. That is to say, human beings who've gone through the initiation and all the protocol to come to a place where they're ostracized because they can see things they shouldn't see. Medicine men and women who had to live at the outside of the village where their family would only come see them when they needed something and leave when they didn't because the healer always lived alone. Because the healer had attributes that normal human beings didn't. Now, I may be striking some chords here because there are old souls in the room that are starting to understand why they feel the way they feel. Because all of this Akash we speak of is starting to surface. You're becoming a little more aware of what you've been through because you must become more aware of what you've been through in order to capture that which you need and bring it forward for what's ahead. If I told you you've won the battle of the light, would you believe me? And I will tell you this, dear human being, that everything that we are looking at says you have. You look at the world and you say, that's nonsense, Cryon. I just got through with my partner, with hours showing you what's different on the planet. I'm standing next to him the whole time. Some of you can see me. Some of you are aware of the colors that are there. You're looking at a meld. And those in graduate channeling will tell you, you cease to turn it on and turn it off. It becomes something that is part of you, human being, and comes forward when you need it, but then never goes away. This is not new. For this is what the masters of the planet had and showed you and told you about, human, every one of them. A divinity that bubbles right at the surface, that's there all the time, and is beautiful and compassionate. If I told you you'd won the battle of light, would you believe me? When you came into the planet, it was different. This is the great shift, and the potentials are that the seeds will be planted in the next 18 years that will shift this planet greatly in the next 70. And that if I could show you at all what might take place then, you would not understand it, for it features things that you know nothing about today. Like George Washington did not know about the internet, you don't know about what's coming. And it's not explainable. Because some of the discoveries will be quantum, and they'll have to do with communications and when it is opened. And that particular knowledge is studied, and the invention is turned on, you will have communications with those you didn't even think existed. Can you imagine how that's going to change the earth? It's a bonding when you see the big picture, when you realize you're not alone. It's a catalyst for peace. It's not frightening when you hear those who have always wanted to talk to you in real time and you now can do it and you realize they're just like you. It's an earth that may celebrate instead of going to fear like your movies tell you, if you understand what I'm saying. You passed a marker where the potentials are very high, light worker, very high, that through these next decades, things will continue to settle. It takes a long time for the energy dies hard in certain individuals, and they will not die at all until they die. And so you will have those who will hang on to the end, believing they're correct in their old energy, in their greed, in the way they think things work. For those of you who think you're going to turn a page and everything's going to be wonderful, I tell you that. It isn't. But the struggle that is the main struggle of dark and light is changing. For you are no longer fighting the wall of darkness that is insurmountably affixed in front of you. It's moved. It softens. It becomes lighter. Shades of gray, perhaps. But you're winning the battle. And that means you're going to face another kind of responsibility. And in order for you to see what is next and what you might be doing, light worker, it's not going to be that hard, for we're going to take you back in time, way before 10,000 years, way before this section of your civilization, to what the ancients did, to what the Lemurians did, to even some of the first religions on the planet that were intuitive did. But that's where you're going. You might say it is a repeat of history, but let us study it together. Let us go back to the early days, the very early days. Let us look at 50,000, if not more, years ago in places that were developing on this planet where the seeds of divinity had been planted and humans had the knowledge of dark and light. The creation story was complete, however you see it. And I can take you to several places to look around and see what is there and what is not there. In Lemuria, what are you doing? In Lemuria, you look around and you see the study is about self. You have temples of wisdom in Lemuria, a study of self. You have healing temples in Lemuria. It's the study of the human body. It is about consciousness over matter because that's what you were taught by those who were there, who were the teachers. There were no statues to worship then. There was no division of sacred thought then. All on one page with an acknowledgement of what had happened. I want you to look at that because that's where you're going. A return to the past. Some years ago, I asked my partner to go to Uluru. He had a profound experience there. He did not sit in front of the Aborigine for very long. He listened to the stories, and he was aware of the energies. And it was a long time after he left that he started piecing together what he had heard. And here's what he heard. A civilization more than 50,000 years old, in the middle of a continent that never changed, much like Lemuria. So that which was developed then passed through the elders and through the young people and then through the elders again, became clear what had taken place. What was the Aborigine doing back then? We're not going to find a lot of idols to worship. For they were receiving information for what they called their seed sisters. And what they had called the ones that were sacred with names that could be not pronounced. And that they took that information within, and the first thing they did was to ally with the earth. That they saw a consciousness in the planet and they allied with it. They did not worship it. That they saw a quantum energy, and that's all we can call it, that was available to them in what they would call their dream time. They believed they could be in two places at the same time, and they were. And they still do it. And there would be those who look and say, oh, how quaint. Well, there's nothing quaint about it. It's advanced, dear ones. Elders with names that cannot be pronounced from places that don't exist on the planet, teaching them what to do next. It was about self, learning all about themselves, what the divinity inside them could do. You take a look at the ancients on this planet, and it was about what they could do with the planet. You look at the tribes that were tens of thousands of years old. There weren't a lot of idols for them. Instead, they had a firm grasp on their connection with the earth. That's what they did. They were aware of what today has been lost. You're struggling with dark and light. They're learning quantum. The Hindus on the planet claim that theirs is the first organized group to put together something that would have what you would call loosely as membership. They would have devotees, those who would dedicate their lives to the study of the God within. And listen to what they said. That a human being could achieve such a status of ascension that they wouldn't die. Or that if they did, they would come back in the same form. That they had past lives and future lives. Does this sound familiar? The Hindu was studying the quantum parts of their own divinity. Leading to the Buddhists, who would see the connection with all things being one, with the earth, with the sky, with the energies of the garden. The gentleness and the compassion. Am I being clear to you? This is where you're going. Not to become a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Lemurian or an Aborigine, but to take the light that you have struggled with and start turning it inward and finding mastery. The new responsibility of the human being in these next years is starting to twist itself from fighting a battle of dark and light to moving into knowledge. What did the Lemurians do? They studied knowledge given to them by their seed sisters. What do the Aborigines do? They study the knowledge given to them. If you ask an ancient where the knowledge has come from, he will say the ancestors. And the ancestors are the ones who are revered because of their knowledge. If you ask a Hindu what is the most primal thing he can do as a Hindu, he will say to study God inside me, and that is knowledge. Now, it comes full circle. You sit in a building, and there are those who can remember when the first shovel of dirt was turned over. You come full circle. For the grounds here are sacred. And when you walk outside, you should know that they are. Because it's about the knowledge of the God inside. And that's the only thing they teach here. This is a futurist academy. And the elders knew it at some level when they put that which is here and made it real. So even it will change, but not much. For the things they teach in this place is where it's going. And there will be more teaching it, and more old souls attracted to this. Perhaps even extensions of this. No more fighting the battle of dark and light. Instead, it is turning itself into the study of the God inside. And that creates more light than anything you can imagine on the planet. It plants the seeds firmly. Not so that all will someday become light workers, for that's not in the cards, as they say, but so that all would have eventually a more compassionate consciousness, no matter what they believe, brought to them by old souls who are changing the very crystalline grid of the planet, the grid that remembers who you are. That's why they call it crystalline. Look in front of me. You've got an altar under the ground, and part of it is crystalline. A testament to what is coming, to what was known, is available. You might say a metaphor of pieces of the earth that remember the vibration of what you put into them. As you study the knowledge of the ancients, which is the God inside you, you generate light. More light than you can imagine going into the crystalline grid, creating portals that didn't happen before, creating an eventual consciousness that when a child is born on this planet in the future, that's what they'll pick up first, because that's what Gaia will give them. And they won't have to fight the battle of dark and light that you did. And some of them will be you, old soul. And you'll come into this planet firmly with a compassionate factor that you didn't have when you struggled with a fight of dark and light. It's the new human being. It's the new responsibility. The incredible human being is changing. But it's come full circle. Imagine the struggle to teach the kind of things that are taught here. When the knowledge was fighting the darkness around it. Now, turn the page and imagine for a moment those who will line up to be part of this because they see the wisdom in it. And the fight will not be as great. Dear ones, these things are here now. We don't have a clock on our side of the veil. And the timing of all of it has to do
with potentials, not absolutes. The years of time we give of planting the seeds has to do with the energies that have been given through what we would call the movement of Gaia. What some of you will also call astrological energies that present themselves because of the motion of the planets, that are like windows that you can move through or not. And dear human being, even that is changeable with human consciousness. And so the message becomes clear. You're moving into a new responsibility, teaching new things, and for some of you, it won't be comfortable, because all your life, all you've done is fight the dark. Before I close, let me give you some of the attributes that may occur. Whenever you have a shift of this kind, there will be those who don't shift and will have to go through life the way they are, pretending to fight a battle that is no longer there, or at least not to the extent it was. And when the enemy starts to disappear, they will conjure their own so that they can continue to fight. It's an odd perspective, but it is real. And so they will go into imbalance, conspiracy, unhappiness, and fear. And they'll be light workers, because no one sat and told them about this building or the things that are in the future that are a realignment of perception. Expect it. And then there will be the ones who will then graduate past the old into the new, realigning themselves and testing what it means. And so here is the promise as we close. We're not going anywhere. Whatever you call this energy, which is in this room right now, is being increased, not decreased. And the ones who come in here in the future, if they want to, can feel the hand on them, with them, in their hand if they want. A higher coherence of compassion is available. As you turn the corner, you graduate. And that graduation is from the old battle to the new. And the oldest of souls will be the ones who will see it first and make the adjustment. Not easy, what you've asked to do. Advanced information today that many will hear and not understand. But the ones in the room, you've got an advantage, because we're here with you right now in a place that is sacred, pressing upon you a compassionate God. The energy of Gaia smiles upon this place. The rocks and the air, all which have their own kind of life, know who you are and what you're doing. And so there is a blessing of initiation upon you, some of whom are more than 50,000 years old. Well done. Incredible human being. And so it is.